from the nation's capital. If it happens in America or anywhere in the world, you'll hear about it first here, right here. Now, your anchors, Chris Salcedo and Lori London.
America's Radio News Network.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, this is where the nation's news breaks. America's Radio News. Thanks for being there. I'm Chris Salcedo.
I'm Lori London. Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you with us on this Monday, January 24th. Here's what's happening.
He was the poetic, literary, intelligent, emotion, and passionate voice for them. And they're looking up now and saying, okay, where do we turn now?
Where will liberals go for their news now that MSNBC and Keith Olbermann have parted ways?
Members of Congress extended that to a lot of people in America who don't yet enjoy that kind of health security for themselves and their families. And that's really a lot of what this discussion is about.
Democrats continue to exploit the tragedy in Arizona for political gain.
I just think we're on a gradual recovery, and business people are a little bit more confident.
And the big boss at MSNBC and GE turned Obama advisor promises a gradual recovery as his vision for America.
We're sweeping the nation and the world for all the latest news. Get ready to get informed on a very busy day here in the nation's capital. Great to see you, Lori London.
Well, it's great to be with you, Chris Salcedo. That is your name. President Obama, that's his name. He's delivering his second State of the Union address tomorrow night in what's expected to be a tactical shift to the center. Republicans say they want to hear less about everything they've been hearing in the past 2 years when the president gives his speech. But in his own preview, President Obama told supporters in a video released Saturday he'll focus on economic issues, especially jobs, jobs, jobs.
And the president echoed his support for abortion rights over the weekend on the 38th anniversary of the Supreme Court's pro-choice decision in Roe v. Wade. Government should not intrude on private family matters, said the president in a statement, adding that he also supports policies to prevent unintended pregnancies. And today, thousands of pro-life Americans will march on the nation's capital in protest of the Roe versus Wade decision.
Well, Jack LaLanne, the fitness guru who inspired TV viewers to trim down and eat well, has died at 96. And after opening sluggishly Wall Street, turning solidly positive amid strength from basic material stocks, the Dow now up 82, the Nasdaq gaining 24.
A key House Republican is quickly pressing forward with her goals to scale back United States funding for the United Nations. Representative Ileana Ross Lightman, a Republican from Florida, chairwoman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, told The Hill newspaper that oversight would be a key function of her panel, particularly funding to the United Nations Human Rights Council, which she called a waste of taxpayer dollars. She went on to say, I'd like to make sure that we once and for all kill all U.S. funding for that beast, because I don't think it advances U.S. interests. I don't think that it's a pro-democracy group. And over the weekend, a lot of lawmakers making some news. Congressman Tim Scott was asked if he thinks Republicans are moving in the right direction by focusing on defunding abortions. On the contrary, he thinks the GOP is definitely on the right track.
I think we're making a step in the right direction. The truth is, if we were to eliminate all funding for Planned Parenthood, as an example, we'd save $300 million for the taxpayers. I think if you're looking for ways to create jobs, you have to look at the regulatory environment that is created by government that actually robs the incentive away from job creation. If you look at it from a private sector employer, I've been for the last 12, 15 years, what I'd say to you is that the uncertainty and the lack of predictability stymies my ability to make long-term investments. I tell you that national health care, the $2 trillion national health care bureaucracy that's created, stymies my ability to hire more people because I'll be paying higher taxes and I can't hire more people and pay higher taxes. So when I look at the regulatory environment, when I look at the new entitlements, what I say as a small business owner is I can't afford to make a new hire. I can't afford to make the next investment into my future. So I think we're making positive steps in the right direction as it relates to repealing Obamacare. We're looking for ways to make incisions and make our program and our process better for the average American. We're wanting to protect the sacred relationship between a patient and a doctor.
So what do you think? Is this the Republicans basically admitting that they can't get a full-out repeal of Obamacare, so now they're focusing on cutting it up?
I think they're going to whittle away at it until it's almost gone.
Untenable. Okay.
Pretty much. Well, Congressman Robert Andrews, a Democrat, the chairman of the House Health, Employment, Labor, and Pensions Subcommittee, admitted to CNS News that he believes health care costs will increase due to Obamacare, but it will be slower than we've gone in the
So you don't see costs, healthcare costs, going up at all due to the healthcare legislation?
I think that healthcare costs will go up much more slowly than they've gone up in the past. They've been going up at an average of about 8 or 9% per year in the economy. Not health insurance premiums, but healthcare costs. And I think you're going to find that that cost will be bent back toward 5 or 6% over the next 10 or 20 years.
That is a stunning admission.
Well, but Chris, is anything free?
Well, no, I guess not. You're absolutely right there. And another stunning admission, perhaps, Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, defended the Obama administration's massive spending this weekend on Fox News Sunday, pointing to what President Obama inherited from the Bush administration when he arrived in Washington.
People shouldn't forget where we were when President Obama took the oath of office. We were facing not only a recession, but the prospects of something much, much worse. We understood that we'd lost a lot of jobs. In fact, we were losing jobs at dramatic, historic rates when the president took office. And he moved forward with a stimulus package, which was one-third tax cuts for working families, a third safety net for the states, the localities, and the unemployed, and a third investment in infrastructure for America. I think that stimulus package stopped the bleeding, if you would, and really gave us a chance to come out of this recession, not as quickly as we wanted, but to avoid a dramatic global recession, which could have been much, much worse.
Well, it may be, and I think a lot of people would argue, could have been much worse. But the fact is, with everything you talked about and with those thousands of new regulations, we've ended up with, at this point, still 9.4% unemployment,
which is unacceptable. But we are at least moving in the right direction. And the president, I'm sure, in the State of the Union address will make it clear his highest priority is putting America back to work.
What do you think the pulse of the American folks, the American people is on this? Constantly blaming, here we are 2.5 years into the administration, and going on 2.5 years, and constantly blaming President Bush for where we're at.
I think that the opinion on that would be split right down the middle. I think Democrats would say, well, he did inherit a mess, and President Obama came in and pulled us up off the cliff. And I think Republicans would say, enough.
All right, fair enough. America's Radio News continues with Brian Preston coming up here in the next segment. He's the editor-at-large for PajamasMedia.com. We're talking with him about all things politics.
And coming up, 10 police officers shot across the nation in the last 24 hours.
And could the Supreme Court justices be a no-show at Mr. Obama's State of the Union address? It's a developing story. We're following it for you right here on America's Radio News.
Breaking news and the interviews everybody else will talk about. This is America's Radio News. When we turn on the light, the insects run and hide. This is America's Radio News.
This is where you get informed. It's America's Radio News. So glad to have you along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
We are on the pulse of the nation's latest news. I'm Lori London on this Monday, January 24th. Great to have you along. When an Iraqi immigrant due to begin trial today on charges he murdered his daughter by running her over with a Jeep because he believed she was too westernized. Falah Hassan al-Maliki is accused of what prosecutors say was an honor killing over his daughter's behavior. Police say he crashed the Jeep Laredo into his 20-year-old daughter and her boyfriend's mother as the two walked across a parking lot. The daughter died 2 weeks later. The mother recovered.
And breaking news coming to you right now as we're getting it. George Allen files as a candidate for the United States Senate from Virginia. We're going to have much more on this coming up. In the meantime, Supreme Court justices, they could be no shows at the president's State of the Union address just one day before President Obama's State of the Union talk with congressional leaders. It's still not clear whether Chief Justice John Roberts will attend, like High Court colleague Justice Samuel Alito, who will skip the event. The recent uptick in collegiality from lawmakers on Capitol Hill in the run-up to Tuesday's speech contrasts sharply with the lingering controversy from last year's speech in which President Obama rebuked the justices over a campaign finance decision. If Roberts decides not to attend, it would be the first absence at the State of the Union speech since joining the court in 2005.
Chris, we have breaking news. This just in, Rahm Emanuel has been booted off the ballot in a 2-1 appellate court decision. apparently thrown off the ballot for mayor of Chicago today by an appellate court panel. This is a stunning blow to the fundraising leader in the race. We'll bring you more on this as it develops.
Absolutely. In the meantime, let's go to Brian Preston. He is the editor-at-large for PajamasMedia.com.
I am back now. Thank you, Chris and Lori. Thanks for having me here.
Very good, great to have you. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about it. This has gone largely unreported that we have the State of the Union address, then we have a rebuttal by the Republicans, and we also have a Tea Party rebuttal to the State of the Union, courtesy of Michelle Bachmann. What do you make of this?
Well, honestly, I'm a big fan of Michelle Bachmann's. I've met her a couple times. I think she's a great champion for conservative causes. I think this is a mistake, though. The Tea Party is going to put this out as a webcast, and all it does is give the media a chance to write this narrative of the fractional Republican Party can't get their act together, can't keep their message together. I think it's a mistake.
Well, as the president moves to the center, are we going to meet the are we going to see the Republicans meet the president halfway, or do you think they'll just continue with this no-Obama attitude?
Well, you know, with this president, there's what he says, and then there's what he does. He is very good at saying all the right things, but he's also very good at doing all the wrong things. So I'm not convinced as of yet that he's actually moving to the center in ways other than rhetorical. So the Republicans, in my opinion, ought to stick to their guns at this point, and let's have a put up or shut up attitude.
And Brian, just coming across the wires, you heard us tease at this breaking news that Rahm Emanuel getting thrown off the ballot out there in Chicago, the mayor of Chicago's race. What do you make of that?
Well, I heard about it from you guys, and my reaction was just to chuckle. I mean, didn't he leave the White House to go run for this office? And there were residency issues with him, because, as we all know, he's been living in Washington for the last year and a half.
And he gave up his chief of staff position for this.
Pardon? Go ahead.
And he gave up his chief of staff position for this.
Yes, he did. And if this stands, it seems to me delicious comeuppance for a fairly arrogant player on the political scene.
And it just seems odd, because he was the heir apparent, was he not?
Oh, he was absolutely the heir apparent, and all the polls showed him way ahead. But, you know, there is this little problem, which is election law, and there are a lot of folks on both sides, honestly, who like to flout it, and hopefully this time Rahm doesn't get the chance to flout it.
Well, at least, not even most likely, absolutely will appeal this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that is a slam dunk guarantee.
One would think. Hey, you know what? Keith Olbermann making the stunning announcement on Friday that was his last show on MSNBC. What are you hearing from your sources? Was he pushed out? Did he go out of his own accord? What are you hearing?
Well, it sounds like it was mutual. There was a rocky relationship going back several years, and anyone who knows anything about Olbermann knows that he was the most difficult pundit to work for in all of Washington, and that is saying something. So he had a rocky relationship with MSNBC, and apparently what he's decided to do is part ways with them, and it sounds like he's going to go try and build his own little media empire. So he has essentially abandoned the cause of Countdown for the almighty dollar, which, you know, hopefully the folks in his liberal audience will see that for what it is, hypocrisy.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where he surfaces next. I've heard things like maybe he'll even do stand-up comedy.
He's been doing that for years.
All right. So, yeah, you know what, Brian? I was going to ask you too. This whole blending of the parties here, the State of the Union address. You know, Republicans sitting together with Democrats. Some are being very critical of this. A Republican congressman saying it's a setup by the Democrats. What's your read?
I think it probably is a setup by the Democrats. The fact is, a lot of Obama's policies are obviously not popular, and that's one of the reasons they got shellacked in November. And what this mixed seating does is actually obscures the size of the new majority that the Republicans have, and it also will mute some of the criticism that will come in the State of the Unions. I'm on the record as not being a fan of these State of the Unions. I think we should turn them into prime minister's questions and let the politicos have at it. But I think the seating arrangement is kind of silly and much ado about nothing.
All right, Brian Preston, we certainly do appreciate your time.
He is the editor-at-large at PajamasMedia.com. And go to that website, because he has this new feature called The Tattler. It's pretty fun. It's updated constantly throughout the day. Brian Preston, thanks a lot for being on America's Radio News. All right, coming up here next, we've got Betsy McCoy. She's the founder of the Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths and a former lieutenant governor for the state of New York. Going to talk to her about the health care repeal now shifting over to the Senate side up here on Capitol Hill.
And coming up, the Steelers and Packers are heading to the Super Bowl.
And a jet fighter escorts a plane in for a landing at a London airport. due to threats. We'll give you the information on that. Stay right there. It's America's Radio News. This is where the nation's news breaks.
Broadcasting from the nation's capital, where we catch the news before it gets away. This is America's Radio News. Reliable and always informative. This is America's Radio News.
You are tuned into the place where you get informed, where America's news breaks. This is America's Radio News. Thanks for being along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
I'm Lori London. Welcome to the show. Great to have you along on this Monday, January 24th. Here's what's happening.
He was the poetic, literary, intelligent, emotion, and passionate voice for them. And they're looking up now and saying, okay, where do we turn now?
Where will liberals go for their news now that MSNBC and Keith Olbermann have parted ways?
Members of Congress extended that to a lot of people in America who don't yet enjoy that kind of health security for themselves and their families. And that's really a lot of what this discussion is about.
Democrats continue to exploit the tragedy in Arizona for political gain.
I just think we're on a gradual recovery, and business people are a little bit more confident.
And the big boss at MSNBC and GE turned Obama advisor promises a gradual recovery as his vision for America.
We're sweeping the nation and the world for all the latest news. And lots of breaking news here on Capitol Hill today, Lori London.
That's right. And if it's happening, we've got it for you. President Obama delivers his second State of the Union address tomorrow night in what's expected to be a shift to the center. Republicans say they just want to hear less about everything they've been hearing in the past 2 years. In his own preview, though, the president's telling supporters he will focus on economic issues and jobs, which is what everybody wants to hear.
And breaking news coming your way right now. Rahm Emanuel has been thrown off the ballot for mayor of Chicago. That's coming across today by an appellate court panel. A stunning blow to the fundraising leader in that race. An appellate panel ruled 2-1 that Emanuel did not meet the residency standard to run for mayor in Chicago.
Very stunning news. An explosion ripped through the International Arrivals Hall at Moscow's busiest airport today, killing 31 people, wounding about 130. Russian news agencies are reporting the explosion was caused by a suicide bomber, and they say the device was packed with shrapnel. Now, Moscow police are on high alert. They've got beefed up patrols in the subway system, which was a previous target of terror attacks.
And here in the nation's capital, this also breaking minutes ago, former Virginia governor and U.S. Senator George Allen today signed and delivered his declaration of candidacy for the United States Senate from Virginia in 2012. Allen first alerted supporters of his decision in a personalized email message that directed them to a video announcing his plans. And the whole debate over Obamacare and the repeal of that law has really started to heat up. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, a Republican from Minnesota, has been spending a bit of time in Des Moines, Iowa lately, which, of course, is fueling the rumors that she's planning a presidential run of her own. Here is the Congresswoman and the reasons why she's visiting the state.
Well, I didn't come down here this time for personal ambition. I really came because so much is at stake in 2012. And of course, people will be speculating about who our nominee will be. That's only natural. But I think for the next 12 months, it's very important that we not forget that the main thing is the main thing. And we have to address this issue of dealing with deep debt, with excessive spending, and also with getting rid of this government takeover of one private industry after another. So in the midst of talking about who our nominee is, because I think 12 months from now, that name will bubble up to the surface, whoever that person is. In the midst of that, we can't forget why we need to replace President Obama. And that's what I'm trying to do here is lay the table on and frame the big issues.
All right. Would you like to be the one to replace President Obama?
Well, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk about the issues. I really trust
I understand. I understand you're in Iowa talk about the issues, but I'm curious, would you like to replace President Obama?
Yes, I would like to see him replaced, and we'll Iowans will decide who that person will be to replace him. I trust them. They're wonderful people, and I trust their good judgment.
Well, she's not there for that reason, Chris. They never are.
What do you think? You think she's going to run?
I don't know, but whenever they say that's not why I'm here,
that's
it may be
there.
Why they're there.
Uh-huh.
Well, Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's worried that Republicans are spending way too much time on going after Obamacare.
I happen to believe, and I stated this repeatedly during the campaign, that the bill that was passed through the Congress is not a bill that I have supported. It's not a bill that I think helps to reduce our health care costs, and I think we got to get rid of it. The real question is how much time do we as a Congress spend on this messaging? We've got a situation where our economy continues to be in the tank, the longest extended period of high unemployment since World War II. We've got debt and deficit and spending issues that we have got to grapple with. So as important as making sure that we are reining in our health care costs, spending a lot of time on the messaging votes, I don't think is what the American public wants us to do.
From Lisa Murkowski to Betsy McCoy. She is the founder of the Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths and a former lieutenant governor of New York. Going to talk to her about the health care repeal debate as it moves over to the Senate. Betsy, welcome to America's Radio News.
Well, thank you. And Murkowski is wrong. This isn't about messaging. This law shreds your constitutional rights, and ultimately it puts government in charge of your care and lowers your standard of care. So repeal is essential. The Obama health law is on the ropes. Let's face it, 26 states, the majority of the states in the United States, are now challenging the constitutionality of Obamacare. It has been repealed in the House, and although Harry Reid is afraid to bring it to a vote in the Senate, because the Democratic majority is so slim there, the fact is it might pass as a repeal vote.
Well, Betsy, let me challenge you on a couple of things here. You said that that Obamacare is on the ropes, but realistically, do you think there's any chance at an all-out repeal?
I do think there's a chance. I think there's a chance that it will get through the Senate, and that will put the president in a bind. For example, the Senate could attach this repeal bill to the motion to allow the debt limit to be raised.
Well, Betsy, what about the folks with pre-existing conditions that won't be denied coverage? Is there anything good we can find in this law?
Yes, and those portions that truly protect the consumer could be included in a 20-page bill in plain English that members of Congress could actually read before they vote on it. They don't need a 2,600-page bill that literally takes all the control away from your doctor and away and the choices away from you. Let me give you an example. There hasn't been much press attention to it, but this week, Kathleen Sebelius is meeting with her 18-member Washington Knows Best committee to decide what must be in the health plans that everybody in America has to get.
Right.
And the basis for that meeting is their belief that Americans are too stupid to pick the health plan that meets their own needs. So the 25-year-old man who has no family, he's going to be forced to buy that minimum essential coverage rather than just a hospitalization plan. That means he's got to pay for maternity care and pediatric care even though he has no kids. Or how about that family with four kids already? They've got to pay for infertility treatments if Kathleen Sebelius decides that that's essential coverage when they already have four kids and they just want more pediatric care. Or how about the middle-aged couple that's never taken drugs in their life and they have to pay for substance abuse treatments? This is like the government saying, you're too stupid. And next year, they're going to say no more hatchbacks, no more SUVs, no more convertibles. Everybody needs a four-door sedan because they're too stupid to choose the kind of car they need.
Well, Betsy, I want to get you to handicap this whole thing now. So what if, let's say for argument's sake, that Mitch McConnell's bold statement that there will be a vote in the United States Senate on the repeal of Obamacare. What if that happens and there actually is a bill sent to the president's desk? Does he have the political courage to veto it once both houses of Congress have sent the repeal to him?
Well, especially if that repeal is attached to essential legislation that he needs, for example, raising the debt ceiling. I mean, after all, the Democrats played hardball to get this bill passed.
Yep.
All kinds of Cornhusker kickbacks and other payoffs. And now the Republicans in the Senate have to really play hardball with the Blue Dog Democrats, who promised they were not going to be Pelosi puppets, and get them to vote for repeal.
Betsy
it's
McCoy.
Very close.
Betsy McCoy, thank you very much for being on. She is the founder of the Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths and the former Lieutenant Governor of New York. And we're talking about the health care debate, where they're glad to have you on America's Radio News. Coming up, Acorn Reborn under a different name. We'll give you the 411 on that.
And coming up, a marijuana soft drink. We'll bring you the buzz on that.
And the king of eats. We're talking taco meat made from lions.
Oh,
where
God.
Is this happening in the United States? We're going to tell you coming up on America's Radio News. This is where America's news breaks.
We're keeping an eye on breaking news so you don't have to. If it breaks today, hear it today when we come back to America's Radio News. This is America's Radio News Network, where the nation's news breaks first.
If you want to get informed, you have come to the right place. This is where the nation's news breaks, America's Radio News. How you doing? I'm Chris Salcedo.
I'm Lori London. We are on the pulse of the nation's latest news on this Monday, January 24th. Great to have you with us. Rahm Emanuel thrown off the ballot for mayor in Chicago today by an appellate court panel. This is a stunning blow to the fundraising leader in the race. The panel ruled 2-1. Emanuel did not meet the residency standard to run for mayor. Emanuel is appealing to the state Supreme Court.
And watch out, Acorn is back in all but its name. Backed by hundreds of thousands of dollars in union donations, New York Communities for Change, a rebranded version of the controversial organization that closed up shop amid several scandals, is acting again as labor's attack dog on controversial issues. New York Post is reporting that New York's NYCC took over Acorn's offices on Nevin Street in Brooklyn, shares some of the same board members, and uses its membership lists and other resources.
Well, Apple's application store reached a landmark 10 billion downloads Saturday, further underlying the lead of the iPhone maker in mobile online software battle. Apple launched the iPhone store in mid-2008, and it proved to be an instant hit, driving sales of the smartphone and helping reshape the way mobile content is delivered.
Well, check out this headline. King of the Eats, Tucson restaurant to serve up African lion tacos? Are you kidding me? They've already dished up python, alligator, elk, kangaroo, rattlesnake, and turtle. So it's no surprise they now are going after the king of the beasts. Tucson restaurant announced that it will serve up tacos made from the meat of African lions.
Chris.
Boca Tacos y Tequila has already drawn the ire of animal rights activists on its Facebook page for this announcement.
It's sickening. I'm sorry. As someone who personally doesn't eat cows or chickens.
Right.
I can't even. Isn't this an endangered species we're dealing with?
Hey, we're not lying about it.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, it's time for a little fun from across the pond. Note to government officials, after turning on your cell phone to silent, make sure that your musical tie is quiet as well. Check out what happened when one British politician's accessory known as a musical tie proved to be too loud for Parliament.
The EMA debate today, historically they have been vexed about how to pay for the EMA scheme. Madam Deputy Speaker, if we are to have a credible debate, I apologise, it is my tie to support the campaign against bowel cancer that was making that noise, Madam Deputy Speaker. It is a musical tie that they were giving out.
Order. Perhaps next time the gentleman will be more selective in the ties that he wears. In the chamber, and then we won't need the musical accompaniment.
Your words of wisdom, so Madam Deputy Speaker, are taken on board, and I apologize to you.
Oh, didn't you feel like you're back in school for a second? Perhaps the gentleman...
He was definitely reprimanded.
Absolutely.
Well, you watch. It'll be a fashion trend.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, former Pennsylvania Senator and potential presidential candidate Rick Santorum responds to critics over controversial remarks he made recently about President Obama and abortion when he said the president as a black man should know better than to decide what should be considered a life. Santorum now says the attacks on him are from critics who are taking him out of context.
The debate about the issue of who is a person under the Constitution is a debate that unfortunately defined this country for almost the first 100 years of the country and actually beyond it. We, as a country, did not see black people as people in this country until the 14th Amendment came through. It's the Civil War and the 14th Amendment, which clearly granted personhood. But it was even after that, until the 1960s, that segregation ended. And so the point I was trying to make is that right after the 1960s and the 1970s, we went back at it again. And a group of people in this country who were always considered people, that is children in the womb, were now taken and say, no, they are property, not people anymore, and they can be killed. And the point I was trying to make, and I did make, and it's not one that I've made, Ronald Reagan's made it, Jesse Jackson's made it, many people have made it in the past. But what I've said is that we have a situation where people are being made into turned into property in abortion, and that caused great strife in this country, great damage to this country when it was done to blacks. And the point I made about President Obama is a point that I will stand by, that as a constitutional lawyer and as someone who has seen how people were turned into property and the devastating impact on that on society, I would think that he might be have a better understanding of what the consequences are of doing it again in the area of life.
And all of this talk, of course, happening as right now, thousands and thousands of Americans are descending on Capitol Hill in protest, pro-life demonstrators in protest against the Roe versus Wade decision. In the meantime, is Hannibal Lecter hooked on American Idol? Actor Anthony Hopkins says the Fox reality show is great because it promotes the American dream.
Well, Oprah Winfrey. I read somewhere that your guilty pleasure is American Idol.
I love American Idol. Yeah, because actually, I watch it. I've shown up at the. I saw it the other night, and then with the new team.
Yeah, what do you think of the new team?
I think they're fantastic. What I like about American Idol is that it's the American dream. I mean, young kids can come from all over, and they have the courage to get up there and do it. And my wife loves it, and I have to watch it with her, but I've become hooked on it because, yeah, but she makes me watch it. But I watch it because you think all these kids coming up here, they get up and they do it, and that takes courage. And some of them go on and have great careers. That's the American dream. That's what's always happened here.
I would love to see you as a judge on American Idol. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Okay. But this new team is terrific.
Well, we need a new Brit, right?
What a promo. Yes, I support American Idol.
Well, despite praising President Obama's work with the economy and health care, former Secretary of State Colin Powell told CNN's State of the Union the president doesn't quite have a lock on Powell's 2012 vote just yet.
Do you see anyone currently in the Republican field that would prompt you to vote Republican in 2012 and not vote for the reelection of Barack Obama? Anybody interest you in the Republican field?
I will always vote, as I have throughout my life, for the person I think is best qualified to be president of the United States. And I don't adhere to a single party line. So I'm not committed to Barack Obama. I'm not committed to a Republican candidate. Now, I will see who emerges. Right now, I do not see on the Republican side any one individual who I think is going to emerge at the top of the pile. So it's going to be an interesting 2011 and a very interesting early 2012 as the primaries begin and they separate themselves. But I am not committed to any candidate until I see all the candidates and finally see who the two candidates are who are going for this position.
You don't see anybody in the Republican field right now that might tempt you away from your support for President Obama?
I have not yet seen anybody in the Republican side who I'm prepared to commit to. But as I say, once again, I'm not committed to President Obama either.
Well, he got a lot of grief for supporting Obama.
That is true. As the 2012 campaign starts to march on, it seems that we're starting off earlier and earlier every year. We'll see where he comes down. Coming up in the next hour of America's Radio News, Rahm Emanuel booted off the ballot in the mayor's race in Chicago. We'll have an update for you.
And Oprah Winfrey has a confession. She has a sister she never knew about.
And, of course, we'll update you on the terrorist attacks in Moscow that have left 35 dead. Stay with us. America's Radio News rolls on after this.
The heartbeat of America beats first right here. Stay tuned for news when it breaks and today's top headlines when we come back to America's Radio News.